Dr. Lawrence White of Our Savior Lutheran Church in Houston, Texas, on why they support Issues Etc.
Our Savior in Houston has deliberately included Issues Etc. as a significant part of our outreach ministry, and we regard every dollar that we've committed to this ministry is a dollar well spent in the extension of the kingdom of God, the proclamation of the Lord Jesus Christ, the demonstration that our Lord Jesus is not irrelevant to what's going on in the culture, that our historic biblical Lutheran theology is more urgently needed at this moment than at any other moment in history, and Issues Etc. is in the forefront of that movement.
To find out how your congregation can support this worldwide outreach, visit the support page of our website, issuesetc.org, and look for the Issues Etc. 300. Well, it's time to hear from our listeners. We like to, as often as we can, respond to what our listeners have to say on the Issues Etc. comment line, 618-223-8384. This is just a line we leave open for our listeners. We sometimes hear their criticism, often their show suggestions. Sometimes it's simply calling to give us a verbal pat on the back, job well done, or they've got a question. Now, I like to think of the Issues Etc. comment line as the call-in line for the on-demand listeners because they listen in kind of a lagged fashion, sometimes a week, sometimes more, behind the actual live broadcast of the show. And yet, like every listener, they still want to say something, contribute something, ask something, maybe add something. That's what the Issues Etc. listener comment line is all about, 618-223-8384. We try to respond to as many of them as we possibly can. Let's begin with a comment about last week's interview with Colleen Carroll Campbell on Mississippi's Personhood Constitutional Amendment.
Hello, this is Dave Garlich from Winterset, Iowa. I listened to your podcast with Colleen Carroll Campbell on the Mississippi Personhood Amendment, and it deeply saddened me. The life issue is a primary concern for me. I heard about this legislative effort to finally fight this unconstitutional and, frankly, un-American court ruling of not protecting our fundamental right to life. It stunned me to hear why our supposed pro-life groups did not rally around this effort. No, instead, we get this excuse that this may cause some of our steps that restrict abortion to be wiped away. What restrictions are there that prevent a girl slash woman from having an abortion whenever she wants it? All the efforts out there, from the ultrasound first to parental notification, end with, and then you can kill the baby. That is legislating evil. This Personhood Amendment is the first step to actually return us to a country that stands for life. What kind of leaders do we have in this fight for life? We need crusaders in this fight, not people looking to cash the check. Thanks so much for your program.
I don't know what the cash the check reference is to. I know that Colleen had some concerns about, while she's generally in favor, referencing the conversation with Colleen Carroll Campbell of the St. Louis Post-Dispatch, she's generally in favor of the sentiment behind the Personhood Amendment. Who wouldn't be? Who's pro-life? It's about protecting the unborn. The devil is in the details, especially when it comes to constitutional amendments. How these things are worded or not worded can open up avenues for all the wrong things to happen. I would call it being cautious because of the law of unintended consequences. One of the concerns about the whole category of personhood in the first place, and we've had many pro-life guests express some concern about this notion of personhood, is that if you can legislate who is a person and who isn't, then you can restrict that category, can't you? Now, this again, the law of unintended consequences. No one fighting for that personhood amendment that, by the way, failed in Mississippi. No one fighting for that ever would want to have the category of personhood later at some other time restricted. They want it as expansive as possible, don't they? They want someone to be considered a person under the law and have equal protection under the law from conception until natural death. That's what it means to be pro-life. That's what it means to support the pro-life cause legislatively. But if you don't word your amendment or your law carefully enough, later, you're not always going to be here, nor will the pro-life lawmakers always be there. If you can define it one way, you can define it another way. You can define people out of the category of personhood. We've watched that happen all the time. Now, the fact of the matter is, this is a tricky legal area that has yet to be completely explored. I'm not a lawyer, but I know enough to see that this term personhood, if we do not proceed very cautiously, we will be introducing a category into law that could be used to further declare the unborn not persons. There are a lot of people out there who already are. They just don't have the legislator's pen in their hand. Now, there were some concerns expressed by pro-lifers with regard to the Mississippi personhood amendment that were more particular to it. In particular, they said it did not include, it was not specific enough, and these things have to be microscopically specific. You have to be. They say it wasn't specific enough to include all different kinds of, they say cloning or the equivalent thereof, things like that, all different kinds of conception. Are we talking natural conception, conception in a petri dish? What are we talking about? All of those things need to be teased out. So there are several concerns here. I don't think it's fair to say that anyone was against, any pro-lifers were against this. But they were, and I think for very good reasons, concerned about the long-term consequences of, number one, introducing a legal category here that can be used against the unborn and has been, outside the law, routinely used against the unborn, Roe v. Wade being a perfect example of that. And they were concerned that the language of this particular amendment was not specific enough or particular enough to cover every category. As it is, it's a moot point. I agree with you. We need constitutional amendments to protect the unborn. What shape they take, we have to be very, very careful. What we really need to do is to strike at the very foundation of legalized abortion in the United States, the Roe court's decision and the subsequent decisions that backed it up. That requires the proper makeup of the Supreme Court. That's the simplest answer to that question. The proper makeup of the Supreme Court is the only real long-term answer to Roe v. Wade. And that depends on a lot of other things, like who's sitting in the White House and when judges die or retire. It doesn't look too good for the near future. I'll say one more thing. All this incremental legislation that restricts access to abortion, I don't know if you're right when you say all of those end with and then you can kill your baby. A lot of those are designed so that the person who does get the ultrasound, the person who does have parental notification, can be stopped in their tracks, if only for a moment, to rethink what they're actually doing. So I think we can't say it's all or none when it comes to this kind of thing.
This is Herman calling, and I'd just like to comment on the presentation by the former Jehovah's Witness member who had left it and become a Lutheran that was aired on Tuesday yesterday. I think that's one of the best insightful and presentations on the inside nature and teachings of the Jehovah's Witnesses that I've heard in a long time. Pastor Wilton's questions were very acute and insightful to bring out more of the internal data and factors that were going on from his guests, and that is certainly an extremely commendable and a piece of apologetic work. That's certainly a fine presentation and very eye-opening, and can't say enough for it. So thank you very much.
Well, I think all the credit there goes to the guest, Jason Barker, who is a former, he said, third-generation Jehovah's Witness, and so he could speak with a great deal of experience and authority on what it's like to live under the thumb of the Watchtower Society. And that's what I found fascinating about his story. I think that's why I was asking the questions I was. What is it like to believe that a publication society, that puts out a magazines or pamphlets on a regular basis, a monthly or a biweekly basis, that that is the voice of God. What's it like to live with that as the basic foundational truth in your life that you think shapes everything you do? Trying to get into the mind of the average Jehovah's Witness who believes that when the magazine comes in the mail, God is speaking yet again. And if God says something in that magazine, that edition of the magazine, that he didn't say in the previous one, or in that edition that may contradict what he said in the previous one, you just go along with it. Do you see what kind of tyranny that is? Tyranny of the mind and of the spirit. And I just found it fascinating to talk to someone who had come out of that and to come out of it as well adjusted after a lifetime of living under that. It really gives you a sympathy, I think. And that's what he expressed at the end of the interview yesterday. It gives you a sympathy for the Jehovah's Witnesses, not for their teaching, by no means, but a sympathy for their predicament. Their predicament is they, a faceless and anonymous publication society, can and does tell them with claimed divine authority on an almost daily basis what God is saying, what God expects of them. I mean, that's worse than the Pope speaking ex cathedra. What a freedom it must be for people to come out of that kind of slavery of the mind and of the spirit to the true Christian faith, where we have a divine authority that speaks, but it doesn't come every week in the mail. And it doesn't change generation to generation or week to week. It remains the same. It's the standard for everyone, and no one can gainsay it. No one ought to. And its goal is not that Holy Scripture's goal is our sole norm and source and authority. It's not to, I wish more Christian preachers understood this. Is not to tell us what to do. The goal of that Holy Scripture is to tell us what Christ has done for us. The whole point. Jesus says, search them. You think that you find in them eternal life. He's speaking to the Pharisees who believed that they could open their Bibles of the day and be told what to do. He says, these are the Scriptures that testify about me. When we come back, we'll be joined by Dr. Gene Edward V. Talk about God's design of the family. Issues Etc. relies on a small group of faithful supporters called the Issues Etc. Reformation Club. These people have pledged to become monthly or annual contributors to Issues Etc., and this allows us to budget our expenses more efficiently. Now, there are four levels of giving. The Confessor, $25 monthly or an annual gift of $250. The Apologist, $50 monthly or an annual gift of $500. The Reformer, $100 monthly or an annual gift of $1,000. And the Patron, $200 monthly or an annual gift of $2,000. Each Reformation Club member receives premiums like books, transcripts, and the I Have Issues t-shirt. You can join the Issues Etc. Reformation Club by contacting Craig, his email address, craig@issuesetc.org, or you can call 618-223-8385, 618-223-8385, the Issues Etc. Reformation Club.
Often imitated, never equaled. You're listening to Issues Etc.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
The FBI called it the House of Horrors. It was a ghastly late-term abortion mill in Philadelphia, the details of which are too graphic to share on family radio. Two abortion mill staff pled guilty to various charges, including murder. Adrian Moten admitted taking part in killing a live infant. Sherry West admitted to killing a patient by drug overdose. Neither woman had any medical training. Since the initial news broke, scores of pregnant women victimized by this abortion mill have come forward. Pro-abortion activists continually rant about the need for abortion to be legal so it'll be safe. Sadly, this house of horrors is all too common. While babies are being killed, the mothers sometimes get maimed or die. Visit today's broadcast link at lifeissues.org for more details.
Check out Life Issues on Facebook and stay more informed than you've ever been.